Hi.
Hey, hey. This is Anthony Montgomery.
And Dominic Keating.
And you're listening to...
Trekmate.
Trekmate. You've been trekmated, mate.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Trekmate podcast. Its continuing mission, to entertain, enlighten, educate, and talk all things Trek. To boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
Prepare to attack. All hands battle station.
Don't worry. We will get to the bottom of this.
All I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer by.
I don't want excuses, I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?
Captain's log, stardate 3541.9.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
Hello and welcome to Trekmate. My name's Wayne Emery.
Hello everybody, my name's Jude Hawkins, and me and Wayne are just doing a very quick intro here for a podcast we've already recorded and enjoyed. I'll let Wayne tell you a little bit.
Recently we got together with two boys that we love more than we can express. Yes, it's the Engage Boys. We joined them for a podcast on their show. They wanted to celebrate the anniversary of Enterprise, and we had a great time catching up with the guys, and we wanted to share that with you as well, just in case it might have passed anybody by. So big thank you to Jamie and Simon for having us on. Yeah. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you. And we thought that we would share that here for you guys, just in case you missed it. So, without any further ado, here is the Engage Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the Engage Podcast. I'm Jamie.
I'm Simon.
And today, we are celebrating 20 years of Star Trek Enterprise, but we are not alone. We are joined by Wayne and Jude from Trekmate. Hi, guys.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, boys. How's it going?
Good, thanks. How are you guys doing?
Very good.
Even better now that we're with you.
Yeah.
Feel the same. we were saying this before we started, but the last time we actually had you guys on was for our TEP Unscripted episode, Volume 2, which I think we recorded in May of 2020, wasn't it? So.
Can't believe it was that long ago.
Yeah. We thought, celebrating 20 years of Enterprise, we thought, well, there's nobody.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. What, 20 years of Enterprise? Yeah.
Yeah.
We thought, no one better than you guys. Obviously, you.
Thank you.
Enterprise is your favourite series, so I thought there's no one better suited for it. So we're just going to be talking about what we love about the series, kind of how fans' perceptions have changed over the years of it, and how it kind of, as the first kind of prequel in Star Trek, how it kind of set the precedence for kind of the newer modern prequel treks like Discovery and, well, soon to be aired Strange New Worlds. So
carry on.
That's right.
Kind of a blend of both our ideas. It's kind of, one was Jamie's, one was mine, and Jamie went, yeah, we're doing both.
Oh, no, it wasn't the idea that Jude had a problem with.
No, it's not the idea. It's not you guys.
It's more CBS.
Yeah.
As you kind of said, Jude, it's like 20 years since Enterprise aired. It's quite incredible. Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, I think me and Simon didn't kind of watch Enterprise till a lot later, wasn't it?
No, I watched it when it was airing as well.
Oh, you did?
In its last past, yes. So I did watch it. I'm probably on the lowest scale of the likes of Enterprise on this panel, but I like it. Where do you
rate it, Simon? On
I don't really rate it. I like it. I don't love it though.
No, yeah. I mean, like,
if you had to rank
all the main TV shows, where would you put it?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I don't know.
behind all the other 90s ones, at least.
Possibly. I don't know. I don't really rank Jamie Reno's. I don't. I like it. I've never loved it. That's the thing. Same problem with Deep Space Nine. I like it, but again, I don't love it. So okay. I'm at the far end of the scale. I like it. I'll watch it.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll watch anything, but I don't love it. I don't. So I'm a next gen boy. So that's kind of first.
That's all right.
Simon, can I just say, this is a safe space. You're allowed to.
In person at a later date. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's the thing. We will not be judgmental of you for your wrong opinions of Enterprise.
Yeah.
It is okay. Those are your opinions to have. No judgment will be laid upon you. We'll just talk about you later.
Until we see you next.
Yeah.
I didn't forget what you said, Simon.
How old would you guys have been when it first aired?
12. I would have been 12, about 12.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even into Star Trek back then, so...
What was it, 2001?
Yeah,
2001. Yeah. Well, just take 20 off of your age now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
20 then for me.
Yeah, and I would have been 18. And I think maybe at that sort of age, like sort of 12, would Enterprise have been the right Trek?
I couldn't speak for those guys, but it depends on what you've watched previously to that, I would say.
Well, this is an interesting thing. This is around the time I was probably properly getting into Star Trek, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't actually know when it was, but I kind of got into it like late 90s, didn't really understand it, and then got back into it early 2000s, which is about 2001. Mm-hmm. So it's just right neck of the woods.
Mm.
And it was on Channel 4, so it was readily available. So I did watch some of it. I didn't watch all of it, but I watched some of it. And I think the problem I have with it is, as Jamie knows, there is one episode, season one, that I always bloody seem to watch. And it always bloody annoyed me. And it's always stuck with me. And I know you're going to ask, Andorian Incident. And my God, that episode gets tiring once you've watched it 4 times through and that's all you've ever seen of it.
Really? Okay, Jamie, I did say this was a safe space, but...
No, you're fine. I think Simon's point, it comes from... It's when you watch a certain episode of Star Trek too many times and you get tired of it, even though you really enjoy it.
But the thing is, the Andorian Incident... Are you guys the same age, roughly?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, yeah, 12 years old would not have been the right age for the Andorian Incident. Because
that's the one we did on YouTube, right?
Yeah, that's the one. We love it.
I bleeping love that one.
No, we don't care. That's fine, Jamie.
It's just I ended up watching that over and over again, and it's just like, oh, for God's sake, not this one again. It's just that's it. It's not...
I think it only works if you kind of accept everything you've seen before it, all the movies, all the TOS stuff, even all the TNG stuff, just like ramming down your throat that Vulcans are good. Vulcans are purely good. They can do no wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And that's what makes that episode good.
One of the things I love about Enterprise. I said, I think, as you guys know, I recently rewatched through it. Mm. And I've come to appreciate it even more, kind of... particularly and this, I'll give credit to Simon, it's like Hoshi, for example. I was never bothered by her before. I was like, yeah, she's there, she does stuff, but things like that. And even like certain episodes I've rewatched and gone, wasn't that fond of them, but actually gone, well, actually it's not that bad. And things like the Vulcans, as you say, I mean, some of us are saying, oh, but that's not how Vulcans are. They've completely ruined the personality and the history of the Vulcans. It's like, yeah, but it's first contact. They've only with the Vulcans, you know, humanity's only kind of known them for a short time. So it's not all going to be rosy, is it? So
no. We're nearly like a good 100 years from TOS. So that's a lot of history there.
Mm.
I really enjoyed that part of the show.
But you know, I think when I finished watching For Enterprise again recently, I can understand why you guys love it. I can understand why it's your favourite Trek, because in some ways now I think it's mine as well. And it's something quite cathartic about the fact that they're the underdogs. So like, as you know, they didn't have shields, for God's sake, and you know, not until later they didn't get like torpedoes, phasing torpedoes or whatever it is.
Photon.
Yeah, thank you. So they were very much the underdogs and had to come up with kind of innovative ways to get out of situations that they ended up in.
And the thing is, it's like, I remember when it first came out, and when they were billing it, because it was just after Voyager ended, and if I remember rightly,
yeah,
I think Voyager just ended. Yeah, so it was the only, it was the only new Trek coming.
Yeah,
and back then you didn't get all of your news like 2 seconds after it happens on the internet.
Yeah.
It was a question of like most of my Star Trek news I would check up on the internet, but I would be relying on Star Trek Monthly and other things to get like in-depth interviews about stuff. And when they were building up Enterprise, I was so skeptical because I was like, Christ, like Star Trek, we're meant to be going forward in the future. You're not meant to be going back. We've seen that. Mm. And it's like, and TOS by far was my least favorite Trek behind everything else. And then also it was a question of like, oh, they're just calling it Enterprise. They're not even putting Star Trek on it. Like,
that was odd, yeah, I didn't like that, to be honest.
Yeah, I think they're trying to differentiate from the other Treks, but when season 3 came around, there's indie plot, and they literally slapped on the title with Star Trek Enterprise
just owned it by that point.
Yeah,
someone realised it was a stupid idea, because the thing is as well, some people who may have watched it because it's Star Trek might not have even clicked on that it was Star Trek because there was no Star Trek in the title. I know it's like there aren't many people that would have done that, but still they're possibly reducing viewer base.
I think so, yeah. I felt at that time like they were kind of I realize different now, they were just trying something different, but it was like they were treating those two words as dirty words.
Yeah,
Star Trek.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the thing is as well, because all of the other series are wrapped up, and I was still eager for more Star Trek, even though they say like the franchise was suffering burnout at the time. Mm. And I went into Enterprise expecting to dislike it. Mm. I was expecting to be disappointed. But then when watching the first episode, I thought, okay, this is all right. This isn't that bad.
I still say I think it's the best opening episode to any Star Trek series.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think at the time, my first watch through, I didn't love it as much as I do now.
Mm.
But it's
because you were skeptical.
Yeah, exactly. At that point, I was already in that mindscape. But the winning factor, the one thing that I was like, no, I'm definitely going to give this my all, was the fact that Jonathan Archer.
Scott Bakula.
It was being played by Scott Bakula. And I love Quantum Leap. So I was like, so it's like, well, it can't be that bad. Scott Bakula's in it.
Yeah.
I still need to, because Simon got me into Quantum Leap, I still need to finish it off. And actually, Scott Bakula, he's in, well, he's finished, but he was also in, I don't know if you guys ever heard of a show called NCIS?
Yeah.
I know he's in it. I still haven't seen it yet.
Yeah,
with him in it,
yeah, he's
I've got to do that.
He's the main character in that, and he's excellent in that as well. And it's just
I bet he is.
Yeah, and he's one of the reasons, I'd love to meet him in person as well.
Same.
Oh, yeah. Mate, honestly, he does not disappoint. He is the nicest guy that you could ever meet. Just so lovely, so friendly. And honestly, you never know. When the curtains are closed, he could be a real arsehole. But when the lights are on, oh, he's so lovely.
I highly doubt it, to be honest.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think he's as much of a nice guy as what he pertains. But no, huge man crush on Scott Bakula. He's such nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think he played Archer excellently. And actually, oddly, I grew to quite like Archer even more as captain watching it this time around as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just like, because I don't know what it is about Enterprise, but it's just something about it. And I think out of all this old Trek, that's not to say the others are bad or anything, but I think DS9 and particularly Enterprise have aged really well.
Oh, totally.
Absolutely. And I think what Enterprise does well is, which Deep Space Nine also done well, was the fact that they did have those bottle episodes that you always, but you tended to have, especially after season one, you had those overarching stories that were going on. So you had a reason to want to come back and watch more, and you was getting more and more invested. And like you, Jamie, I enjoyed seeing the progression through the series of their most basic like things, like slowly getting upgraded, slowly introducing new tech. So they were moving towards the TOS era.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether they should have done the allegory for 9/11 as we're kind of on the anniversary of it.
Sorry.
Oh, to wait for this indie plot line.
Yeah.
What year did that come out?
2003, I think.
Oh, I see.
2003. Yeah.
You're saying that they based their stories based on what had happened on
Zindi plotline
in real life.
Yeah.
I never took that.
I'd never thought of it that way, but I can sort of see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, John Billingsley thought so.
Right.
Yeah,
no, a lot of entertainment reacted in that way at that time, though, to be fair.
I mean,
movies, TV shows, a lot of things did that after that date.
I mean, and Star Trek's always been one to kind of explore current issues, but I think it's kind of, maybe it was, I think for Simon, maybe, you're saying kind of it was probably too soon after that kind of thing?
Well, even John Billingsley said, I'm not quite certain we should have done that in season three.
I
hadn't thought about it at the time. Well, at the time that I first watched it.
Yeah, I personally never linked the two, and I still wouldn't. But at the same time, I get where you're coming from. But I it's a question of with the Zindi, it kind of is different enough from like 9/11.
I think so. You got like the collection, haven't you? The collection of races and stuff. It's not one.
And also then you find that they're being manipulated into believing that Earth's this big threat. And so it's, yeah, I get where you're coming from. But personally for me, I found the Zindi arc a highlight.
I'm not going to have my next rewatch the same way I thought it was going to be now. Simon said that.
But it's there the whole time, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like, and to be fair, even in season one, there is a little bit of it there with Detained. So it's not like none of it was really...
Wouldn't that necessarily be the case, though, because that probably... season one, the majority of that surely would have been filmed long before 9/11.
Sure.
Or at least written.
But it has this weird... I don't know what the word is, but with hindsight, it's a bit strange looking back at it.
Mm-hmm.
You mean the timing of it? In relation to 9/11,
in terms
of
Iraqi war and Afghan war and that sort of thing, yeah.
Did you say Detained?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah,
the Suliban.
Yeah, the timing of that when the Tain kind of aired and that.
I'm just looking at my phone, just realizing how weird it is that we're having this conversation in 45 minutes. But it is 9:11.
I wanted to bring it up because it is a kind of it is a big, obvious thing that is apparent, and you can't if you're talking about Enterprise, you can't really not talk about it. And it's something that it's great that they made it, you know, kind of darker from 1 and 2, but I'm not certain they should have done that particular storyline.
But who knows where it would have gone in 5, 6, and 7.
I know, because it
they'd given it the chance.
I appreciate that they weren't afraid to go in areas that people might have backed away from, and Star Trek once again does it like continuing on from that tradition of genes of touching on subjects, but because you wrap a sci-fi cloth around it, you manage to put on a narrative that can be reflective of current situations, but get away with it because it's sci-fi and it's aliens.
I personally loved it with the sort of like slow build of the first two seasons, where it was mainly about exploration and learning and getting used to things. And then like 3 and 4 is just like, oh my God, what's going on? Mm. I love that feeling.
I think it's just me playing devil's advocate, as I kind of always try to be. I think it's just an interesting thing. And I'm just trying to put some points across that. Cause like the theme tune, I don't really care. The finale, I'm not too faffed about really. I can make a bit of headcanon and make it work for me. It's kind of not the worst thing ever. And I think 3, I will watch it. There is all that going in the back of my head, but in some ways I do agree with you, Wayne. It is still kind of, it is still fiction. It's still not real. Mm-hmm. And they have taken elements of the real world. And
yeah, I think, as you said, the timing of it is interesting, isn't it? I think, as you say, it's kind of, maybe it's a coincidence.
It's just maybe a bit too on the nose for parts of it. That's what I'm probably getting at more than anything else, with a bit more, with a bit of fiction thrown in for good measure, just kind of, it's different enough, that sort of sense to it. But I like it. I like Enterprise overall. I would love to have seen an X refit, if I'm honest.
And, you know, the theme tune, I love that. I think the theme tune, I've always liked it from the very first time I watched it. I was like, what?
I think I thought it was hilarious back then that they'd done that, but now I love it.
It's of its time, isn't it? It's just kind of early 2000s, like, you know what, I'll just put a song to it, just why not?
Everyone else
is doing it.
I enjoyed it straight away, and but the one thing I would say is season 1's version of the intro theme tune is by far the best.
They kept trying to change it, didn't they, to sort of adapt, like, okay, if you didn't like it, we'll change it a little bit.
It's the beat in like the third season where it's like, we're gonna make it a bit puffy, and it's like, who thought that, like, okay, random.
I prefer the earlier version myself,
And I want to know if you know this bit of trivia, but you know the Suliban future guy. Do you know who that's meant to be?
No.
What, as in, was intended to be, or just that they like were planning on using the character but then backed away and changed it?
Who was meant to be behind it? Who was that?
It was there? Q. I don't know.
It's meant to be Archer.
It was meant to be himself.
It's meant to be Archer talking to Sulebans.
So why did they change it?
I don't know. I might,
because it got cut, maybe because it never went 5 seasons or more, possibly.
You talk away, and I'll try and look that up, because I probably find out where that is.
I think even if I've not read that, I think me and Wayne have maybe sort of speculated on that in the past. I'm sure we've said that at some point, but no, I never really knew.
No, I mean, it's not until Simon mentioned it to me, kind of, and I was like, oh really, I didn't know that. So that was interesting. That was,
yeah.
And the thing is as well, with the whole like time travel, temporal Cold War and stuff, that was touching on like we've always had, like in odd episodes of Trek, we've like had glimpses of time travel with like agents from the future that are protecting timelines and whatnot. So it was well within the realms of Trek to have someone trying to manipulate time for their own benefit.
It's so funny though, the fact that they've got it on, you know, on a program with Scott Bakula, basically.
Oh yeah.
After and all that time jumping for like a whole decade before it.
And the NX-01 had a fire pole.
Had a what?
Fire pole. Fire pole. Fireman's pole.
Did it?
See, that would have been cool.
Yeah,
I would love to have seen Archer going up and down his pole.
Up and down your pole. Well, like...
whoever provides the pole, that's up to interpretation.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Okay. So, okay. Shall we go through? What do you want to do, Simon? Do you want to touch on characters? Do you want to?
What?
Sorry, Jamie. Yeah, Jamie, oh. Do you want to touch on characters? Do you want to?
Yeah, we can do that. I don't mind. I mean,
I love them all in advance. I really do.
I was really happy to see such a different race with Phlox.
Yeah,
and like great. Someone who's totally alien that we've not seen before, but also what I enjoyed about him is he was almost like he was a bit of a McCoy. He was out there, he was like figuring things out like on his own, because it and enjoyed the fact that he took this post because it would be doing something entirely different that no one had experience before. He wanted to be out in the wilderness and finding like all of these new things, and so many things that they encounter Phlox just manages to figure out by wanking one of his bats off. And it's honestly and who couldn't love that smile?
Optimism, Captain. Yes. Yeah. And you know, I said, even like I said, like Hoshi for me, like I mean, she's like Simon rightly put, she's like the unsung hero, I think, and like she gets more to do, and there's more depth to her than I previously remember, particularly like in the first couple of seasons. You know, there's more to her than meets the eye, like you know, and
I think there was room in the you know in what would have been the following series to expand the stories of all the sort of secondary characters, Hoshi especially. They did do a bit with her, you know, but they could have done so much more, and I think they would have done.
But I think kind of it was a shame because I think kind of by season 3 and 4, I felt like she got pushed aside a bit, which I thought was kind of a shame. But yeah, I mean, but then other things they did, like T'Pol, like, I mean, how sexualized she was in the first two seasons. My God, I mean, but by
Seven of Nine syndrome.
Yeah, but by season 3 and 4, that had pretty much fallen away, you know, and it wasn't until I kind of rewatched it. I was just like, blimey, they, you know, they really brought her to the forefront with that, you know, kind of depicting her in that way. But again, that got really toned down, which I thought was a good thing.
Yeah.
Shame they didn't give a character to Malcolm Reed, though.
Again, he's another one where I think if they had a few more seasons, they could have done more with it. They did do a bit with it. I could talk to you about Malcolm. Like, he does have a character. Like, he may not be as likable as the other characters and stuff.
Well, we certainly know him more than all of the Discovery cast put together.
Oh, God knows. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
In some ways, I think I'd agree with that,
Hoshi, though, to your point, what I loved about Hoshi is she was a real reflection on Uhura, because Uhura, we always would see her just sitting in the background, open the hailing frequencies, that was pretty much it. And it's like it was obviously amazing to have Nichelle in that position for TOS, but having Hoshi as like the same sort of job as what Uhura was doing, but just showing how competent she was. She was a precursor for the Uhura from the 09 movies, like an amazing linguist, a very like, but also you would see her going through these like emotional struggles with regards to her fears of all different things and overcoming them to be the professional and to do her job and just being very, very competent and very good at what she done.
She also reminded me, I know it's not the same role, but she reminded me of Deanna Troi, you know, that sort of role where, you know, she's actually given more of a chance to justify why she's there.
Yeah.
Whereas Deanna Troi maybe didn't get that so much in those first four seasons of her show.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, in our season movies, like, there's certain episodes of Deanna which are just really poorly written.
Yeah.
And, like, just thinking, what on earth are you doing with her character? And then other times,
it was sad, yeah.
Then she'd be fantastically written. So, yeah, I mean, but, yeah, I mean... certain characters in Enterprise, yeah, I mean, like Malcolm, I'm kind of with Simon on that one. Although he does like to blow stuff up.
Malcolm, yeah, well, it's like I said, not all characters have to be likable, do they?
Yeah.
You don't have to want to be mates with all of them.
Oh, no, I didn't mind Malcolm as much rewatching for it. I think there's more to him there. It's just, again, I just don't think he was given, as you guys have kind of said with some of the characters, they if there'd been more seasons, I think it would have been given more.
Like, they could have gone more into his history. They go into it a tiny bit, but I think he's just like that part of human nature where he's scared of what they might find. So instead of wanting to communicate, he just wants to attack, doesn't he? He wants to blow everything up, like you said. He just, you know, he's ready to defend, and that, I think that's what he is. So because of that, he doesn't have as much chance to shine, but he has little moments, you know.
He does, and you know, Travis is another one. Again, I think he wasn't utilised fully either, even though he did get a couple of good episodes. I think it was Fortunate Son, mainly Horizon, which are both really good episodes of his. He was another one I liked as well. Again, who was unfortunately underutilised, but again, yeah, I definitely think if Enterprise had gone beyond season four, I'm sure that would have changed.
Me too.
Absolutely, because I don't. I like Mayweather. Unfortunately, he suffers with Harry Kim syndrome.
Yeah,
and
he drew the shortest straw, I think, in Enterprise of all of them.
Yeah, agreed.
And but with regards to Reed, I always felt that they very much lent into the stereotypical British archetype. I felt it funny that there was even still a navy at that point in time, considering
that was interesting. Yeah,
but it's like, oh, okay, well, I suppose it's still early doors in like space exploration, so I suppose people still have their armies going about, like, in case shit kicks off.
It's only 100 years from now. It's still pretty crazy now. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, but no, and I would say that he was blander than other characters, but I didn't dislike him. I enjoy moments of Reed, and
he fit the cast, didn't he? Like,
yeah,
he was certainly very different. I think you need that diversity in terms of,
yeah,
I think you need that. So
that's something that, as much as we all love TNG, that's how TNG suffered sometimes, when there wasn't that conflict between characters, where there's big differences between people, disagreements, stuff like that. There's too much getting along in TNG.
I think that's why probably DS9 and to the extent now probably Enterprise is my favorite trick, because you do have that conflict there.
And also, Malcolm Reed does answer that age-old question of what would happen if Worf was an English white man.
Yeah.
He just shares a lot of those sorts of traits.
I think, you know, Wolf always kind of went for the more, always goes for the more kind of aggressive options. Like, we need to attack. And it's
both of their captains don't listen to them.
Yeah,
they both get ignored.
We didn't have a subplot trying to find out his favourite food, though.
Are you sure about that? I'm sure there's been discussions of that elk in TNG when people have been trying to figure Worf out.
Yeah.
Well, within 2 seconds of Q here, it's like, hey, you like prune juice? There you go. And then Mimi's born, like, there you go. Whereas Enterprise, you know, half an episode trying to work out he likes pineapple. Okay. Sure. With his family that doesn't even know him.
Yeah.
It's a weird sort of character building, that, though. It's just showing that he's very closed. Yeah, but again, they could have expanded on it later on.
I think reflecting on it, trying to kind of show he's not very close, probably not very close to his parents.
But also that is reflective with regards to his involvement with Section 31.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't be in that organisation and be an open book at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I don't look upon him as critically as that. I enjoy his interactions with Trip. And I
love that one episode. I forgot what it's called.
Shuttlepod one.
Yeah,
Shuttlepod one.
Yeah,
I really like that.
Yeah, no. So I think there definitely was a warm-hearted person in there. He was just socially awkward, and also didn't want people to get too close in the sense of knowing what he like what his role has previously been.
Yeah, and I think actually now you've kind of mentioned that, I think he actually says, well, you know, that's not how I was brought up. Like, I think he said he was in the Navy, like his family were in the Navy, and that it was tradition. It was like, well, you know, you don't get. It's like in the episode Minefield. He doesn't want to have. He hesitates to have breakfast with Archer. It's a very awkward thing when Archer invites him for breakfast. It's like that's just not how it works. It's like he's always been taught of a strict chain of command. You don't fraternize with your superior.
All of what we're saying there, how different is that to Worf? It's not really, is it?
Yeah. No, it very much isn't. And Worf doesn't get the same flack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
he got not only 7 series, he got 10 series.
Yeah, Worf. That's not, yeah. Dead, yeah. He's in season 4, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
One thing I would say, though, is I would definitely like to have a drink with Dominic Keating.
Yeah. Oh,
that's he seems like a fucking crazy guy.
Yeah.
I saw Dominic Keating and Conor Trinneer's talk in Frankfurt. And that was amazing talk. And again, it's like, I love the actors. And I say Dominic Keating's incredible. He's such a great guy. It's just a shame his character just doesn't have any sense of his character in there, and I say that's what would have been great to get to 5 to 7 to have that in there. But again, as you've both said, we didn't get there because it got cancelled before it had the chance to. Because I think future Reed, when you see him in the future in various different kinds, you can really see that there's a bit of growth in there, but we never got to see that growth because the show got cancelled. So I think that's a shame. He would have come into his own in season 5 onwards.
I'm just going to say it once. I'm sure I've said it on Trekmate a whole bunch of times. But instead of bloody Discovery and all these other programs they're making, why couldn't they just bring Enterprise back?
Yeah.
Why? It's so easy to do.
With Enterprise as well, because it's the one that has been most closest, all of the cast are still at an age where they could slip back into those roles
would have been
really
up for
easily.
Mm. Well, that's the thing as well. I think fans would want it because, as I said, you know, the perception of Enterprise has changed over the years in a positive way. You know, fans, as I said, have gone and said, well, actually, it's actually, and again, I'm
same way as Deep Space Nine, just a slightly less slightly delayed reaction that DS9's got. It's just a bit younger. in the love that it's getting. It's just a bit slow, which is, I think, why we went for the joint thing, because it's like Jamie, this is what Jamie's point was, and mine was the precursor thing. So it is coming, and I think a few years' time, and I think it will be kind of get the same thing as Deep Space Nine, and I imagine there will be a documentary coming soon.
I really hope so. It definitely deserves it.
It seems as though that seems where the tide's going. It seems where it's all directing to. We've had Deep Space Nine, we've had Voyager, or Voyager. Next one up, logically, is Enterprise. So hopefully, fingers crossed, that's what should be coming up, because they seem to be on a bit of a run.
It might, if that was to be the case, I don't know what either of them really does these days, but it'd have to be Brannon Braga and Rick Berman put that together, because it, you know, that's what it was with DS9 and what we left behind.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be Paramount on their own. They're not interested. They just want to do the new stuff. So it's got to be a mixture of the fans and the creators themselves. So I have to look into that.
And also because Enterprise didn't perform for them in America, because the funny thing is, right, is back, especially pre like mid-2010s, CBS, Paramount, they didn't give two shits how something was performing over here. They only cared about the viewer numbers in America.
Yeah.
And because with Enterprise, they had put it on as like their flagship on whatever channel it was, Paramount something or other. It was a question of, it was a channel that was already failing. So, and because it wasn't pulling in those same numbers as TNG, which was only pulling in those numbers because it was syndicated everywhere.
Yeah.
So it was being shown on countless channels, and they expected it to perform the same. Where I remember over here, because I was watching it as it was coming out on Sky. It was
Channel 4, wasn't it, in the mornings?
No, I'm sure I watched it on Sky.
Sky first. Originally, and I think they ended up on Channel 4 later on, because I remember Season 4 coming out on Channel 4.
Yeah.
And that was Sunday afternoons, if I remember rightly. So that was kind of... graveyard.
I was 20 years old, so afternoon was my morning at that time, I expected.
Yeah. No, but as far as I can remember, it was getting those numbers on Sky. It was doing well. And the thing is once again, it was the same with Deep Space Nine. I know there was always a huge disconnect between people who did and who did not have Sky.
Mm.
But as for any Trek fan that I know that had Sky was tuning in and was loving Deep Space Nine and was loving Enterprise, because they were putting it on those prime slots.
Yeah.
Because it was always consistently on in the evening. Normally, I can't remember now what it was, whether it was a Sunday or a... So it was one of the prime slots where then... Channel 4 would fuck it about with regards to what time they would show it.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, because it reminded me of that's what happened with why TOS season 3 was such a flop, because I think it was like Monday or something to like a Friday night, which is like, well, that's when everyone's out in the evening and not going to be standing to watch Star Trek.
No.
So, it effectively killed it. And I dare say the same thing probably partly with Enterprise as well, because Channel 4, as you said, Channel 4 kept messing it around.
Yeah.
So, and the thing is, when you make it hard for people to consistently follow something, there is going to be drop-off.
Yeah, and particularly at that point with Enterprise doing the ongoing story arcs, like the Dzinski plotline, like the three part episodes they were doing and two parts they were doing in Season 4 as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that if Enterprise had came now with the like with the climate that is now, in the sense of you can watch when you want.
I swear it'd blow the others out of the water right now if it was a new thing.
Yeah, I honestly do. Because, and it holds up so well. And also, out of all of the old Treks, obviously we've had the remasters since, but it was the one that held up the best because it was the first to be filmed in HD.
Yep. Widescreen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've always loved the blue uniforms they had, the blue jumpsuits. I've always loved them.
Probably I was just thinking that today. I've got to get one at some point.
Yeah, I really do want one. Must have been as crossed my mind. And the NX-01 actually is my favourite ship. It's my most favourite ship. I love
it. It's
that
very
ship.
Nice, isn't it?
Mm.
Very cool.
Once again, you brought up great points that it done so well. At bridging, what I loved about the show is it done so well at bridging the time period between now reality and TOS.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, then we know what our astronauts are wearing now when they're out on the ISS and everything. So, and we know what they're wearing in the future, and you can see that bridge between now and then, and you can
felt
see
very real.
And you can see the NX-01 as that could be done. That seems reasonable. That seems like it was entirely within the realm of possibility.
Agreed, yeah.
Like the engine room in particular, whenever they were in that room, felt very real to me.
Mm-hmm. And also just like and even when you get it also, what I enjoyed about it as well, is it had that submarine sort of feel because it was that much smaller.
And that's and a nice sort of tribute to Gene as well, isn't it?
Yeah. And
And I think also why Enterprise again is kind of been is kind of gaining more kind of momentum in terms of people enjoying it. I get it because I think the times of as you said, it was a series that maybe at that point maybe was the wrong time for it in a certain way. Whereas
I don't know if the market had just been oversaturated with Trek at that point, where maybe they could have done to have like a year or two off, but I don't think CBS, Paramount could stand the idea of that. I don't think they wanted to be away. Like people might forget about us or something. We've got to get the next show out.
And I think, you know, Berman and Braga, I know they get a lot of flack, but it's like, I think as Berman said, and it's like, well, you know, he'd been doing Trek at that point, since Next Generation, for almost 20 years. He was feeling burnt out. He was feeling fatigued from it.
Fantastic. I understand that, but I really feel like they actually got things right finally. I said this to Wayne the first time I was on a podcast with him. It's like, I think they took everything they'd learned over decades and put it all into this program to get it right and put more money into this program that they didn't have and just made everything right. Everything, like the actors, the sets, the story.
Oh, yeah. And I think for a prequel, in terms of the continuity, I think they actually did a pretty good job.
Very.
Well, the thing is as well is when people would moan about continuity, fuck, they didn't know what was coming. Regards to continuity there, Enterprise done everything within its power to bring brand new storylines and fit within that Trek continuity. It never just threw everything out entirely like some shows might do. However, it managed to do everything perfectly. It's like whether it was a question of the Mirror Universe episodes that then tied back into the TOS episodes with the Defiant and the Tholians, or whether it was a question of like the Borg episode, they managed to tie back into First Contact
so good,
and not disturb the things of the Borg, because it was a genuinely almost like horror themed episode that could, like, to younger viewers would have had that Doctor Who effect of like being scared behind the sofa of these zombie-like creatures that, because they didn't know who the fuck the Borg was, and it didn't then have like this precursor of, oh shit, it's the Borg. No, they were never mentioned.
And the thing was, and I didn't actually think about this until now, but the end of that episode, we just actually made the Borg seem like a threat again. Whereas, turn them into individuals, it's all fine, but in Voyager, they just became another alien of the week.
It was a shame that.
It just became too commonplace.
Don't tell the security guards that their weapons weren't HD remodulated.
Yeah.
just don't tell them that. You'll be fine. Nothing. Not going to bother. It's always going to happen.
Archer and Breed managed to get off like 10 shots at the Borg before they adapt, and it's like the security officers when they come aboard, when the Borg infiltrate the Enterprise, I think it's like one or two shots and they've adapted.
Yeah.
I tell you what I love about the Borg though is the fact that Picard accidentally discovers, no one had the fucking idea until like Picard was on the holodeck, to try real bullets.
And there is irony that the actually first contact is actually more protected than the 24th, but
then all of Voyager, they spend so much time with the Borg that no one decides to like smack them around the head with a mallet. It's just like traditional weapons would have worked fine.
Didn't have Worf on hand and his weapons in his quarters.
Exactly. If a bat left can get through. Quarters. Go down to the replicator and go, okay then, mate, we need an AK-47. Yeah, that's the thing. You've got an unlimited supply of ammo with your replicators there. But
even certain episodes of Enterprise, like ones that I didn't previously think much of, I grew even fond of some of them. I think you were the same, weren't you, Sarah, a couple of episodes, what was it? Vox Solar, and I think Observer Effect, just a couple of examples.
I was only saying to Wayne earlier on, they have some very slow episodes at times, but they're still good to go back and watch. Like, you've just got to be in the right mood or right mind.
Yeah, there's only a couple of episodes only a couple of episodes of Enterprise which I still really dislike, and I've never changed my opinion, but that's just like,
But at the same time, those slow episodes, they would give me huge TNG feels.
It happened all the time back then.
Yeah, it's like you're saying, Julie, they took what they had learnt from the previous years of Trek and just made it and put it all into these shows. But and with regards to like the continuity, that was a huge thing that people had an issue with, and I think that it fitted in perfectly.
Yeah, I mean the thing I think for a lot of people it was mainly the Zindi arc. It's like, well, it's never mentioned in the future, and that's such a big event that Earth went through. But I'm just like, well, you know what? I just don't care. It's like, yeah, maybe it's true, but
just because it hasn't been discussed doesn't mean that it's never
happened. Oh, I think they did actually come up. I think it was Daniel said, oh yeah, the information hasn't reached the future, it hasn't reached our time yet. So I think they do try and explain it away as that, and I can live with it. But even if they didn't explain it, I'll be like, I don't care anyway. It's such a good story arc.
Even just the TOS though, like 100 years is a long time.
Mm.
A lot of stuff can happen in that time. A lot of nice stuff, a lot of other horrible stuff, and that other horrible stuff can overshadow the last horrible thing, you know?
But also, we do have a get-out-of-jail-free card in the sense of we know from episodes like Regeneration and like from things that Zefram Cochrane has said that the Enterprise takes place in a universe where First Contact has happened. So like the film First Contact, not the action First Contact. So you can say that Enterprise is in an alternate universe to the original TNG and Voyager episodes, because First Contact hadn't happened yet, so the Borg hadn't gone back and created this skewed timeline.
Yeah.
Something has happened. So if anyone has got a bee up their ass about continuity, you can go, ah, different timeline. We like parallel universes in Star Trek, we do.
Yeah.
What about you, Sol? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. Well, it's what you guys kind of we've been saying the whole way through, subtextually, kind of, well, it's not like Discovery's not rewriting history or anything like that. So Enterprise doing it, at least they didn't steamroller it through too much like Discovery is just kind of... we've dropped a bomb down Kronos. Oh, yeah, this happened. What? Hang on a minute. So I'm think just, in terms of
if you guys
of
didn't
head,
know, I'm out on Discovery now.
Oh, just... we know. We know.
We both know how you stand on it.
If
it makes you feel better, guys, I mean, we're going to be doing a season 3 retrospective on Discovery, but
I might have to give it a listen, actually. I'm happy to hear you guys talk about it. I just don't want to watch it.
Let's just say me and Simon, when we first watched season 3, we need to rewatch it, but we didn't like it. I particularly really didn't like season 3. I had a lot of issues with it. So when we rewatch it, who knows, maybe my opinion will change. But I think one of the other things as well, Enterprise obviously has got to be credited with, is it was the first prequel series that was ever done. And that's it. I think that has set the precedent.
It was pretty daring, really.
Yeah.
Pretty daring. Got a lot of criticism.
And I think that's obviously has set the precedent for like discovering and when it eventually airs Strange New Worlds. So I think that's quite interesting. I think
I'm willing to give it a chance. I will give that one a chance when it
comes
out.
Jamie, just that one remark has made me start to hate Enterprise. It's Enterprise's fault that we have Discovery.
Kelvin timeline as well.
You swung me on it. They were right. Enterprise, the bastards.
No, but I don't think it tarnishes Enterprise in any way. No. Personally, it doesn't. But I think without Enterprise, you wouldn't. In some ways, it's kind of depressing for us, I suppose, if you don't like Discovering that. Yeah, if you didn't have Enterprise, I don't think you would have had prequels like Discovery,
it opened the door for the 09 movie, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's Enterprise is pretty much the vanguard for the last ink of the last Star Trek, like tail end of the golden age of Star Trek, and then we're now in the new age of Star Trek. It was like 09, Kelvin timeline, Discovery, and everything else that we've got. There are two different things, really, two different entities. Because I say, oh, this is modern television. Oh, that's good, but we'll do that thing.
Yeah, whereas
Age of Trek kind of did its own thing.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And that was the last time
I'm starting to recognise it as is real Trek and fake Trek.
Don't be a hater, Duke.
Sorry.
You're just trying to antagonise people. Don't come here with none of your anti-Discovery shit, you male chauvinist pig.
Jamie, do we have guests for how we would change Star Trek Discovery, do you think?
Maybe we should. Would you guys like to join us for that? How we would improve Star Trek Discovery?
I think we can control ourselves enough for that.
You know that's going to be a long podcast of how it could be better.
I've already
it could be a really short one. It'd just be like everything.
Yeah. Right, we're going now, guys.
Yeah. We'll be here for two seconds. How do you make Enterprise Discovery better?
Well, my first note does actually say start from scratch, so we're on a sort of similar page there.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea, yeah.
So,
with modern Trek, what they're trying to do, they're trying to cater to things to all fans. So you've got people like who want to go forward in time, well, kind of Discovery and Picard, but those that kind of, you said the prequel kind of thing, like had the Enterprise, started. Well, let's go to, again, kind of Discovery. That's the problem with Discovery. It doesn't know what it wants to bloody be. and, you know, so, or Strange New Worlds. So, yeah.
Okay, Strange New Worlds. I, despite how many times Discovery has taken a big turd down my throat, I, with Strange New Worlds, I still remain slightly optimistic just because
I'll give it a chance. You can't just, like, rule it out before it's even started, can you?
And the thing is, Pike was the best thing about season two.
Yeah, see, actually, me and Simon, I mean, this is slightly off topic, but me and Simon really enjoyed season two of Discovery. Even the story itself was done better.
The new number two as well. Number one.
But me and Simon actually really enjoyed season two, partly because of the Red Angel mystery. We thought they'd done well, but also because of Pike and Spock. That was a big part of why we liked it, wasn't it, Si?
Yeah. So, this is an Enterprise episode, but yeah.
Sorry, going off topic, but yeah. But I think
just a small thing.
It's all right. We'll take the blame.
Sorry.
Like you say, we'll come back. If you want us to come back, we will for that.
If you guys want to, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think, as I said, Enterprise kind of, this fad of prequels that we're getting now with Star Trek, I think I said that kind of started with Enterprise. Without Enterprise, you wouldn't have had what we've got now. Even if it's kind of questionable, well, do we really like this new prequel kind of Trek? Maybe not, but even within the worst Trek, there's always some good stuff in there.
I think I said it a minute ago. I think it was daring of them. I respect that they bothered to do. Because I think if they'd gone even more futuristic, they could do what they want. It doesn't matter. They've got no.
Mm.
They only have to. You don't even have to worry about what came before too much.
Yeah, I mean, it's great when shows do like a winning formula. They give the audience what they want. If something is a success, let's give them more of that. But I like, Enterprise, when they do something completely different that goes against maybe what audiences want, it might not always pay off, but it can sometimes be very, very effective.
Mm.
As an example, I'll just quickly bring up because I've thought of it, and you'll probably know more about this too. But the Last of Us Part Two, the game,
yes,
that was very controversial, and a lot.
Oh, of it was.
Didn't like.
I loved it.
Went with that. I'm the same. I loved it as well. But an Enterprise is a kind of similar thing. People didn't want a prequel, but to hell with it, they did it anyway. And
I think
now that's kind of paid off. I really think that has now paid off, because without Enterprise, you wouldn't have the prequel tricks that we're getting now.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And I got to believe, I don't know, once I get back out to the conventions and stuff, but I know it sounds like I'm joking, but with all the new programming that they're putting out, I've got to believe that there's a lot of fans out there who maybe didn't want to give Enterprise a chance because of rumor and stuff they'd heard.
Yeah.
But now after seeing Discovery and whatnot, they might be watching that and going, oh my God, this is way better.
Simon and especially me, I've really come around. As I said, I think Enterprise is one of my favourite Star Treks now. And it's like, I wouldn't have said that a year ago or even 6 months ago.
So, I think we've definitely got Discovery to thank for that. That, like, some of the old school fans that were shitting on Discovery absolutely after Discovery, were shitting on Enterprise after watching Discovery and Picard and everything else that's getting churned out. They're like, oh, fine, we'll give Enterprise a go. And then it's like, oh, this is actually good Trek.
Do you guys like any of the new Trek stuff? Any of them at all? Just out of curiosity. I know you don't like Discovery.
Not really for me. I found the Lower Decks season one like mildly nostalgic for all that, you know, seeing similarities to TNG and stuff like that. I've not watched any of season two yet. But that's about it. With Discovery, me and Wayne were both very open to it at first and actually enjoyed a bit of it and were both watching with our families and stuff and thought, like, oh, this is going a interesting direction. You know, it's got like movie style effects and stuff going on and But I think by the time we got to season two, I think me and Wayne were just, without even discussing it, just like agreed on like, where's this going? What the hell is happening in this program? Like, what's going on with these characters and this story? And then Picard. One season of Picard, like, obviously, yeah, we were both very optimistic about that. Really wanted to love it. And again, me and Wayne are always guilty of this, just having the same opinion without even discussing it. Like, it was just like, oh, God, this isn't what we wanted it to be. What's going on here? I mean, there was some tiny okay bits. I was glad to see characters come back, character interactions, but overall the story and new characters and it's just not doing it for me. Sorry, no, Wayne.
I think me and Sam probably like more it's fair to say probably enjoy more of the new Trek than you guys do. But even now, maybe because I've not watched it enough, it's probably a bit biased, but I still prefer old Trek anyway. I said DS9 and now Enterprise. Mm.
If anything, that's what the new Trek has done, has made me want to go back and watch all the old stuff over again.
and in some ways, you know, even a longer running story arcs, I think that's because with like DS9, especially Enterprise, it works. But the thing about these new Treks is these longer running story arcs, me and Simon have found Discovery and even a bit of Picard, there's not enough episodes. They rush the plots. They move at times. It moves so quickly that the character action.
I'm not even sure if they know where they're going, Jamie, to be honest.
No, I mean,
I think they kind of just make it up as they go along, it feels like.
But you know, I think Enterprise, you know, I think it deserves more credit than it gets. It's great that it's getting more recognition now, but I think it deserves more credit than it gets in terms of, you know. Again, partly because I said it was the first prequel series, and even if we don't entirely love what they're doing now, it has given us more Trek, essentially. And
sorry, Jamie, I'm not sure if I've gone.
And you know, it's a unique series in itself, and it's like, it's a shame it didn't get more than it only got those four seasons, because it deserve it. And based on what kind of Berman and Bregger said, what was initially going to be planned from season five onwards, my God, it would have been fantastic to see.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed, it could still happen. Like, I know they're all getting older, so we, but it could still happen.
I would love that. But sorry, Wayne, what was you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, with regards to your question on the new Trek, like Jude said, with Enterprise, Picard, we were so optimistic about it. And at first, we weren't that critical of it. But then as the series just progressed, it just kept getting to me. It's like my favorite moments in that series is moments when we have Picard revisiting Riker and Troy, and when you have those moments to slow down, because it feels like Trek nowadays is compelled to be nothing but blaster fights. Paramount wants Star Trek to be Star Wars.
Yep, that's a good quote right there.
And it doesn't give that same heart to what Trek is. And we've all always enjoyed those episodes of Star Trek where suddenly you've got like 100 warbirds fighting with DS9, and you always get those huge... But the reason why you enjoy that is because there has been those years of building up on things. You're invested in those characters. Picard has a foot up on Discovery in the sense of we are already invested in a number of the characters that are revisiting us in Picard.
Yeah.
However, there are certain things that I can't forgive Picard for. And it's just... I think at some point I will revisit Picard just to reaffirm why I'm unhappy with it. I will watch season two. Put it this way. I will always watch new Trek just so that I can formulate an opinion. I know Jude has 100% given up on Discovery. He's not going to watch anymore.
That's fair.
No.
But with,
if any one of you three guys tells me that, like, oh my God, season four or five, whatever it is amazing, you've got to come back to it, I would, but I don't think that's happening for that one.
And the thing is, it's like with, on the opposite end of the spectrum with Lower Decks, I was absolutely up for Lower Decks. I was 100% like, yes, like, let's have a comedy cartoon just taking the piss out of Star Trek. But for me, I haven't been offended in any way by anything they've done. I've not been... the only thing that I can describe with Lower Decks that I've had is meh. My feeling has just been, it exists. And the thing is, I've been... The only thing that I wanted from it is I wanted Lower Decks to make me laugh. And I'm not sure if it's just a question of the American sense of humour.
Simon agrees with you on this.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's just hard, the American sense of humour that I have this disconnect with. But Lower Decks failed to make me even chuckle once.
Wayne, listen to our last episode. I spent literally about an hour chatting to Jamie, exactly saying similar things to you, just like, great for Easter eggs, but it needs something more to it. It needs a bit of, I don't know, something to it. You I'll can't rely on Easter eggs. Like, you're kidding me. Like, you can't live on Easter eggs for every single episode. Like, you have to have something.
No, chucking Easter eggs into something is all well and good if the show isn't shit. But
yeah,
it's just a question. Its main promise was just that it was going to be this lark that we can all have a laugh with. But for me personally, that humor
really
just
goes on with it.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you. I have only watched the first two episodes of season two, so I'm still.
I don't even watch them.
No, I'm still watching away and thinking like it, but that's we are currently in a strange new world, guys, where there is brand new Trek out there, and I couldn't give two shits.
And you're more bothered about Mandalorian coming back for the third season than you are about three or four Star Trek shows on the.
But it just goes to show you, and even to say, even though me and Sam probably like New Trek more than you guys, so even we're kind of like, again, I said I prefer things like TNG, DS9, all the older Trek stuff, and now especially now Enterprise. It's like rewatching Enterprise. It's kind of like it's really made me appreciate older Trek more. And like the new stuff, we do like it, but I don't know. It's just not the same.
Our Trek. It's watch it because we are Star Trek fans. But it's I am an X-Gen fan through and through.
I know people are watching it right now, but as time goes by, as well as we get 5 years, 10 years from now, is it going to be anyone's Trek? Like 10 years from now,
it will be
probably. But
do you think so?
Yeah, but I think
they'll still be interested.
But they will go back to old stuff.
And I think And I think DS9 and Enterprise stand out as aging incredibly well. I think they both.
I've got to believe it will stay that way for generations.
Yeah, but you know, I get why you guys love Enterprise so much. I get why it's your favourite Trek because yeah, and I said they only did four seasons of it, but they did a great job. They did a brilliant job with the show. Whether you have compare it just to itself or even with the other series, but you know, I doing a prequel, I think it was the right thing. Maybe at the time it probably didn't seem like it was, but I'm glad they did it.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely, and those are quality episodes. The one thing that has always disappointed me with Enterprise, and
I know
that's
what he's gonna say.
And it's not whether it went four seasons or not, it's the finale.
Oh, God, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the finale.
That is the one episode I struggle to remain objective with.
Simon loved it, though.
I don't mind it. I don't love it, but I'm just not... it's very meh. And so
I was going to ask you, is it your favourite episode?
No. I can live with it. I can watch it, but I'm not going to get angry about it. Well, I'll leave that to you three, but...
The whole thing about Riker's orders and Trip disobeying Archer, Simon explained how it links.
But it's so contrived that I can so make it work.
It's so convoluted. That's real bloody stretched. If that's the best they could have
done. I just think if I were going to do that episode, it should have been something way earlier on. Maybe even season one or two, you know, just as a jokey one-off episode. Not your finale. Come on.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Straight after killing one of your main characters as well, you know.
Me and Jude had discussed this and said, like, if it was a mid-season program that was just a fun episode to, showcase like how Enterprise might be seen in the future in TNG era and stuff, absolutely think it works great. However, it was on the back of two amazing episodes with Demons and Terror Prime, and those were amazing episodes, don't get me wrong. I still think that it would have worked better if they really wanted Trip to die, rather than killing him in These Are the Voyages, you could have easily have had him, I would have rather him have sacrificed himself to save the life of his child and to Pol. Rather than killing himself to save Archer in a situation where you know they could have got out with him. Yeah.
I've always struggled with that one. As I said, we try and main objective when we, like me and Simon, we particularly do our season reviews, but that's one episode I've always struggled with because I've got so many problems with it.
It was a real kick in the teeth to the Enterprise guys.
Yeah.
They deserve better than that.
Yeah.
And Terror Prime would have been a brilliant finish. Yeah.
The one thing I will say as a small positive for the finale is at least it didn't tarnish the rest of the series or the rest of that season. At least it didn't do that.
I think I don't know how Enterprise in one episode could have tarnished what they had done before because they had done so well.
Yeah.
With everything else. And it's
I'm glad they didn't do that at least. It was still an appalling final episode, but it just didn't work. The whole Trip's death and then Archer's speech, you never heard one iota of that and
But also the thing is with that finale is it hit many beats that Terror Prime and Demons was already doing because it was another story. Literally, the episode after a two-parter where Enterprise is going back because there is this new peace treaty that is groundbreaking that they are going to sign. And that's what people are protesting for. That's why you've got the people that aren't happy with it on Earth. It's tackling racism. It's tackling xenophobia. And so you've got these issues of the thing of Enterprise going back for this big inaugural coming together of the foundations of the Federation
in place,
and then one episode later, literally, These Are the Voyages are once again hitting those beats of they're going back because they're forming the Federation.
Yeah, and even the Shram plot, I didn't have a problem with. It was a bit meh, but it was fine. I didn't that part of it was absolutely fine. It was just the whole TNG thing, Riker's orders, and just the way Trip's death was done. That was the real issues that I had. If you'd taken that and had the Shram plot tweaked, if they were so still insistent on killing off Trip, but doing it in a way that's more plausible and works, and then maybe just hear a bit of Archer's speech at the end, I probably would have been fine with it. So some slight tweaks, and I think the episode could have worked all right.
Whenever we talk to somebody who is going in with Enterprise for the first time, we always turn around and say, okay, when you get season 4, watch These Are the Voyages halfway through, and then treat Demon and Terra Prime as your season finale.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy the season good so advice. Much better.
Yeah. Well,
interestingly, showrunner Manny Coto says that he saw the episode as coda rather than being finale, with Terra Prime and Demons being the actual ending of the show. So what does that tell you? Even the showrunners are going, yeah, I'm not happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They knew they'd messed up. But putting that aside, Enterprise was a great series. I think there's not many episodes I've gone in and I've truly despised. I mean, the only other one I really don't like is A Night in Sick Bay. That's the only other one.
I like it. I love
Night in Sick Bay.
I know you guys do. You've
got to be in the right mood for it.
I cannot stand that episode. I just don't.
But that's fine. We're all allowed
watch
to.
It the next time you've got flu or something. Like, and you're in bed just going like, watch it that day.
I think Enterprise.
Or when your dog's ill. Or your pet, whatever you got.
Poor Porthos.
Yeah. Love him.
You love
Would you have liked to have seen the Porthos Saving the Day episode?
Yeah.
There's someone actually going to do an episode about coming up, I think, is it with scenarios of how Porthos could actually save the day in a certain ship scenario? If the ship
they did it with Wesley over and over. I'll do it with Porthos, definitely.
Well, that was the other thing as well about Enterprise, just quickly say. It's like kind of the first Trek series where a captain had a pet, which I thought was quite nice.
Livingston?
Well, that's the thing. Picard had his fish, and we know that Janeway had a dog before going away.
Yeah.
However, now Archer knew that he was going to be out there for some time, so he took his pup one. With him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Is there anything more we want to say about Enterprise?
Bring it back.
Bring it back. And if you guys watch it.
Someone's
re-watch
got the
it.
Hashtag stuff on all that social media. Not me, but someone else.
Well, yeah. Here's this for a question for both of you. For the last final question, what episode would you say for a newfound to watch? Which one should they watch? Kind of.
I was just wondering that earlier on, and I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Well, you're going to want it to be a one shot. Because obviously, if you're wanting to win someone over, you're not going to really want it to be reliant upon an overarching story unless it's a standalone one within that.
So you probably want to avoid pretty much season 3 and 4. So you're probably looking at more small sightings into the first 2 seasons.
I do really like the one that you guys, or one of you, was dissing earlier on, the Andorian incident. I really like that one. I really like the one on Earth, Wayne. What's that one where T'Pol and...
Carbon Creek.
Yeah, I really like that one.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Carbon Creek. Yeah. Okay, Simon, are we talking about someone who is a Trek fan but just hasn't tried Enterprise, or are we talking someone who's never checked out Trek whatsoever? Because those
whatever
are two very
one
different.
You want to go for, whatever.
Carbon Creek would be good for the latter, I think.
Yeah, someone Carbon Creek for it. Someone who is a big Trek fan. I think would definitely work well. I'm just thinking off the top of my head.
For someone who's never watched Trek before, that's tricky.
Netflix on right now. I could just have a little skim.
Yeah, I'm just scrolling through the episode list to see which ones I would actually trip. Because as Jude said, I think Enterprise definitely has the strongest opener episode out of all of Trek.
Yes. That is very good, actually. No, I could say that one, the very first episode. But for the old Trek fans, you could say any one of... Is there one or two Mirror Mirror?
It's a two-parter. It's a two-parter.
It's a two-parter.
And that's the thing. Season 4, even though...
there is a whole bunch of standalone episodes in season four.
Acquisition?
The Ferengi episode. I wouldn't recommend it as being like my number one go-to, but also I appreciate what they've done there because no one ever identified them as Ferengi. It once again goes back to their brilliant job at preserving
the timeline.
And also,
and Paul first got put in that, was it that chest or whatever it was, but he couldn't bring. Mm-hmm.
Oh, for God's sake, Jamie.
That's what I was waiting for.
Cold front?
I'm just thinking. In a Mirror Darkly is a good but once again, if you don't like Mirror Universe episodes, it's not going to win you over, because there are a portion of Star Trek fans who just don't like Mirror Universe episodes.
Naughty Hoshi.
Even in four seasons, we've still got just under 100 episodes to choose from there, so it's not easy. No. God, I completely forgot fucking Brent Spiner was in a few.
Oh, yeah. That's
totally forgot that.
Borderlands, Coal Station 12, and The Augments.
Yeah.
Episodes, I think it's 4 to 6, I think.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
Which Noonien Singh is he? He's I can't remember now. He's like
Eric.
Yeah,
I think it's like I think he's like a generation or two from Noonien. Yeah. I think when he's going to create data at the end, he starts. He goes, "Oh, it might take me a generation or two." So they kind of keep it a bit vague.
I like that at the time. Yeah, I've not watched it. Rewatched that in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'll recommend it, Joe.
I will. Yeah, I'm gonna have to rewatch this. It's just
I've got to do my
DS9 and Voyager rewatch first at the moment.
I like the one with the rumbling drone. I like that three-parter.
Oh yeah. What was it? United, the Enar, and
Once again, laying teasers of where season five would have been going, because we know that Enterprise would have been going into the Romulan War.
That's right.
Yeah,
I've read a couple of the Enterprise books they did afterwards.
Really?
They changed the whole thing with Trek. Thank God for that. He joins Section 31. So the whole his accident, they actually explain all that away in a much much more better way. They go through the Romulan War and stuff, and it's. And I think they're still doing Enterprise books. I think they've even gone beyond 2161. So, like, I think Archer's like Admiral, and I think Malcolm Reed gets his own ship and all that kind of stuff. And I've not read some of those books. I've just heard about them. But
I'm going to have to do that at some point, yeah.
I know it's a bit of a prickly issue. Are books considered canon or not? But
who cares? Yeah, if you want to read them, you read them.
It would have been incredible to see the Romulan War. It really would have been incredible to see that.
And also knowing that they were, they confirmed that they were intending to make Shran a permanent member of the crew.
And you know I'm doing something all over that. I'm getting very excited about that. I'll put it in those words.
Yeah.
Not going to say what Wayne would say. Nearly did.
you behaved yourself, Jude.
Yeah.
Just thinking about it, I think I would recommend Carbon Creek to people.
Yeah,
we'll go for that. That's our joint decision.
Yeah, and you got to think as well with people who have never watched Star Trek, or maybe even I don't know if they're not being as much into sci-fi. There's sci-fi elements in there, but it's a pretty much. I mean, you could easily pass off that episode. It's just kind of a. Like a drama coming to a town after a crash, and
I think what was done in like anything between TNG, Voyager, DS9, and Enterprise, a lot of the time the writers, like one writer or several writers combined, could do in 45 minutes or less what other people struggle to do in 90 minutes in the cinema, like perfectly, and that's a great example.
Definitely.
And also, Carbon Creek has beautiful elements that reflect upon City on the Edge of Forever, that sort of feel.
Yeah.
As well. There is a lot for Trek fans to appreciate out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, and for if you are a Mirror Universe person, then definitely check out.
And I got to say, the first time I watched Enterprise, like T'Pol did, like sort of win me over as my favorite Vulcan. Not for those reasons.
Not for those two reasons.
Maybe a little bit, Jude. Maybe a little bit.
I don't know. Maybe, but
I'm just teasing you.
Certainly softened the blow.
But now that I'm rewatching Voyager, like I'm starting to lean towards Tuvok at the moment. But no, I think she does a great job. The actress and character's great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and T'Pol even kind of her being more emotional. They were going to explain that with that her father was a Romulan. It was going to be the revelation that her father was actually Romulan. So that's where that emotional part of her would have come from. I mean, it works okay without it. You know, the whole Trillium D thing, which is fine. But they need to bring Enterprise back.
Let's do it.
I really want them to bring it back. It would be nice.
That's it. So. Start the campaign, Jamie.
So is there anything more we want to say about the 20th anniversary? But I think we've covered everything, I think, haven't we?
It's just aged fantastic. I'm glad that it exists. It's a shame that it never went longer, but we love it. And you never know when you look at TNG season 7, that's hardly its strongest season. Out of what's come before, so you never know maybe if it had gone longer, maybe it would have gone down the pan, but
we just don't know.
But I'm glad that it exists, and it's definitely, especially in today's day and age, if you haven't checked out Enterprise, it is well worth a visit to see whether it scratches that Trek itch that maybe some of the newer Trek isn't doing for you.
I think we can all recommend it. And you know, I said that's why we wanted to do kind of a celebratory episode on Enterprise. As I said, it deserves the recognition that it gets, and I think really kind of, you know, Voyager's getting its own documentary, and you've got the whole thing at Destination Star
Trek. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it got funded. They crowdfunded it.
Yeah, and I think Enterprise. I don't know. I'm sure it's not intentional, but it feels like Enterprise has kind of been forgotten about a bit. I think
it'll get one. It'll be...
It kind of feels like it's going in order almost, doesn't it?
Yeah. I thought
I'll put some money in if I see it on a Kickstarter thing, or you know, all these pages. I'll do it. I'll put something in.
We just wanted to just do this episode and just. I said, get you guys back on. I said, you both love Enterprise, and well, we haven't chatted with you for ages. So,
thank you for having us. It's been
pleasure.
Guys. Thank you for guys for coming on.
And we'll if you want us to join you for the Discovery one, then I'm up for that.
We'll try and behave ourselves.
Anyway. Well, that's the thing. We're looking at how we would improve it. So, you know, I'm sure.
I think I could. We could both give a lot of constructive criticism.
Yeah, I'm sure
some stuff we like.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's. I'm sure me and Simon,
I can count on one hand.
Yeah. I'm sure me and Simon exists, with that though. Episode, we probably would be on the same wavelength for a lot of things.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do it then.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I think it's in our schedule next year, isn't it, Si? So I'll add to our schedule that we'll get you guys back on for that. So, but
yeah.
Thank you guys. Just thank you again for coming on. It's been great catching up with you guys and talking Enterprise.
It's always a pleasure.
Cheers. As I said, I'm a new fan myself now. It's one of my favourite Treks now, alongside DS9. So good. I'm in the same boat as you guys.
Excellent. Oh, well, we're glad to have you.
Yeah. Go away, Si. You're not invited. I'm joking.
He's not in our club.
No, but even Simon, you know, even Simon's come to appreciate Enterprise more than you used to, didn't you, Si?
I say I like it.
Yeah. So.
I'm not going any further.
No, it doesn't need to be your favourite show.
That's
We're going to get you a blue and yellow suit for Christmas.
Don't worry, Simon. We are not Discovery fans. Just because you don't like Enterprise doesn't mean that we're going to make out that you're a misogynist racist just because you don't like it. It's fine. We understand this. We're old school.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah. You're just not woke enough to like Enterprise is what it is, Simon. Fuck you and your xenophobia.
So I
what you got against dogs?
Yeah, what you got against poor beagles. Folks?
Yeah. You're a horrible person, Simon.
You're a dogophobe.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. But yeah, we hope you guys have enjoyed listening to this episode.
Don't worry, we'll have Simon cancelled by the next episode.
Yeah.
Hashtag cancel Simon.
Ban dogophobia.
Oh, dear. Anyway.
Sorry, guys.
No, you're fine, though. But yeah, thank you, Wayne and Jude, for joining us again. And yeah, we'll be back soon, guys, with another episode.
It's been a pleasure. We love you, really, Simon.
Yeah, we love you. We do.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Rock on. Live long and prosper.
Except you, Simon.
Irritating. Ah, yes. One of your Earth emotions.
Riker jokes. Troy reads minds. Worf, he grunts, and Wesley annoys. O'Brien beams, Geordi's blind, and Crusher has red hair.
Bones says Jim, Scotty dreams, Picard says make it so. But there's one guy that's always logical. What does the fox say?
Illogical.
Live long and prosper.
Checkmate.
What does the Spock say?
Illogical.
Live long and prosper.
Checkmate.
What does the Spock say?
Fascinating.
Live long and prosper.
What does the Spock say?
Fascinating.
What does the Spock say?
Big blue shirt. Pointy ears, quoting stats and no emotion. Tricorder, those eyebrows, the science officer. Your skin is green with cold blood. You would dare to analyze. But if you meet an alien, how will you communicate? By mind melt. How will you speak to that whore horta?
What does the Spock say?
I'm not capable of that emotion.
In the hands of an adolescent.
Live long.
What does Spock say?
And prosper.
Fascinating.
Greetings.
What does Spock say?
And felicitations.
Spock, serial number S179-276.
What does Spock say?
Lieutenant Commander, position, First Officer, Science Officer.
What does Spock say?
The secret of Mr. Spock across the galaxy, leaving all he knows. I know half human. Will the Vulcans be our logical friends? You'll always be a mystery. What do you mean?
Live long and prosper.
Use your words of veneration and let your history. Okay, history.
needs of the few.
Or the one. I have been, and always shall be, your friend. Live long. And prosper.
Been listening to the Trekmate podcast. Would you like to get a hold of us? Visit trekmate.org.uk and boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
Prepare to attack. All hands battle station.
Don't worry, we will get to the bottom of this.
All I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer by.
I don't want excuses, I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?
Captain's log, stardate 3541.9.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
I am Captain Jean-Luc Picard, and I approve this message. Tweet us at Trekmate1701. Make it so.